Omagya antimirandasya ginanjana shalukhe chakshurun militam yada tasmai shigurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya mano vishtam stapitam yena butare svayam rupa kadam mayam dalati svabhadantikam. Panchaka putaru vyascha kripa sindhu bevacha pasitanam pavane pyo vaishnave pyo namo namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutare Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tenamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunnavadi Paschatya Dashtarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna altogether. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Bhutai Mahatriyama, Puro Vibhurunya Maikshati, Adamusha Purusha, Vongtai Ganan, Sadasa, Sadasat Makailan, Krishishtha, Bhagavan, Vacham Sime. Om Nama Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Nama Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Nama Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we continue the reading the fourth canto, second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Daksha curses Lord Shiva, text 25. Girashrutaya Pushpinya. Girashrutaya Pushpinya. Madhu Gandhena Burina. Madhu Gandhena Burina. Matna Chantat Titatmana. Matta Chantat Minatmana. Samuvyantu Haradisha. Samuvyantu Haradisha. Girashrutaya Pushpinya. Madhugandhena Burina. Matta Chantati Tatmana. Matha Chan Mati Tatmana. Samuyantu Haradvisha. Samuyantu Haradvisha. Synonyms: Gira, words. Shrutayaha, of the Vedas. Pushpinya, flowery. Madhugandhena, with the scent of honey. Burina, profuse. Matna, enchanting. Cha, ant. Unmattitatmana, whose minds have become dull. Samuyantu, let them remain attached. Haradvisha, envious of Lord Shiva. Translation: may those who are envious of Lord Shiva, being attracted by the flowery language of the enchanting Vedic promises, and who have thus become dull, always remain attached to fruitive activities. Purport. The Vedic promises of elevation to higher planets for a better standard of materialistic life are compared to flowery language because in a flower there is certainly an aroma, but that aroma does not last for a very long time. In a flower there is honey, but that honey is not eternal. So, Prabhupada ki jai. So, this is another curse by Nandishwar. And this is very interesting. Is this microphone working, or this is just for decoration purposes? So this is a very interesting curse. He says that those who are envious of Lord Shiva, they should become attached to the flowery language of the Vedas and remain absorbed in fruitive activities. And there are a few considerations here. One is the purpose of the Vedas, and of course purpose of the Vedas is to understand the Supreme Lord and develop relationship with Him, serving Him with love, and ultimately go back to the spiritual world where life is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. But living entities come to the material world because of their desire to enjoy. And so, actually, it's very interesting how by following Vedic recommendations, one can completely satisfy all the desires one has and become detached also. It is there are a few statements. The conclusion of the whole Bhagavad Gita, the last verse of Bhagavad Gita, says Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna Yatra Parto Danurdara Tatra Shir Vijaya Bhutir Dhruvanitir Matir Mama, that wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will certainly be Shri, opulence, Avijaya, victory, Bhuti, extraordinary power, and Niti, which is morality or purity. So all the benefits, they follow Krishna consciousness, because Krishna is the master of all opulences, right? Aishwaryasya samagrasya virasya shashashya jnana vairagya. So all these opulences are inseparable from the Supreme Lord. Aishwarya, wealth, virya, power, yasha, fame, shriya, beauty, jnana, knowledge, and renunciation, vairagya. And it is very interesting why these opulences are mentioned in this particular order. And the most impressive of all the opulences of the Supreme Lord is His renunciation, that He has everything, but He is not attached to anything. And He can give everything up very easily. This is what He demonstrated as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna doesn't require to renounce anything, but He renounced just to show how renounced He is, right? Even to such an extreme extent. And He is Atmarama, self-satisfied. And He doesn't require anything external for His pleasure. In any condition He can enjoy. It's very interesting how He is described by Arjuna on the battlefield. No, that's actually Bhishmadev in the 9th chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhishmadev says, I always meditate on this image of Lord Sri Krishna, who was who was driving Arjuna's chariot, and
you know, you can imagine battlefield and so much dust raised by the, you know, hooves of the horses and feet of the elephants. And so Lord Krishna's beautiful black curly hair was fully covered by the dust, and his body and his face were covered with the drops of perspiration because he exerted himself so much. I mean, you can just imagine driving the battle chariot. That's quite an effort. And so Krishna was covered with the drops of perspiration and with the drops of blood also, because Bhishma Dev was shooting at Arjuna, aiming his arrows at Arjuna, but Krishna was sitting there naturally, and Krishna was, you know, pierced by the arrows and was covered with blood. And so in this way, but the most amazing thing was that Krishna, covered with dust, sweat and blood, only tears are missing there, right? He was still smiling happily. Why? Because he could offer such a intimate service to his dear devotee Arjuna, right? So this is the most amazing thing. Can anyone be happy in these kind of circumstances? You know, just imagine you are pierced by the arrows, you're fatigued, and you're in the danger of war, and you're like enjoying life, right? So only Krishna can do that, right? So Krishna is Atmaram, he is happy in any circumstance. And so he is completely renounced. What is this? Can we turn this thing off? It's just a distraction. And so Krishna has all the opulences, and this is the greatest advantage of Krishna consciousness, that by serving Krishna you get blessing by Krishna's opulences, right? Everyone's looking for these things. Everyone's looking for money, right? One man says, you know, if you're looking for, you know, women, don't waste your time. Look for money. If you find money, women will find yourself automatically. Will find you automatically, right? So everyone's looking for money. Everyone's looking for power. Everyone's looking for fame, etc. All these things, right? Knowledge. So many people doing Google search, right? Trying to gain some knowledge. So everyone's looking for these things. But because they're trying to be happy, ultimately, right? That's the purpose. And why the topmost opulence of Krishna is renunciation? Because you can only be renounced if you are completely happy in life, right? And so if you have everything and you are not happy with it, and you're not renounced, you're still holding on to it, what's the use? What's the use of having everything and being miserable? Right? And so this is the curse. This is why it is the curse, right? That you be attached, you become attached to your flowery, what do you call it? attached to your fruitive activities. You remain attached to the fruitive activities, right? Because my spiritual master gives an example. Someone grabs a live wire, right? And they become attached to it. They suffer so badly and they cannot let the live wire go, right? So this is what's happening in the material world, right? That all these, especially nowadays, all these types of self gratification, they just bring misery. But people continue with that, right? Like drinks and drugs and all other stuff, especially gambling, my God. Actually, gambling is defined as the worst kind of addiction, much worse than any drug. Because people cannot give it up. People actually go crazy gambling, right? Because it is targeting the worst human quality, which is greed, right? And Narad Muni in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, of course referring to that Bhagavad Gita statement, three gateways leading to hell, right? Lust, anger, and greed. And he says, comparatively speaking, of all the three, the worst one is greed. Why? Because if you are lusty, and if you satisfy your lust, at least temporarily, you become peaceful, right? If you are angry, you shouted, you punished your enemy, at least for the time being, you become peaceful, right? But if you are greedy, you know, your greed just keeps increasing and you never become peaceful. Not even for 1 second in your life, right? Greed is such a terrible anartha to have, right? And so attachment means one becomes affected by greed. And so this is actually a terrible curse. You remain attached. Means you remain miserable in material existence. You try and try and you never succeed. It's like in the Greek, whatever they call it, mythology, there was one guy who was cursed to push the boulder up the mountain. What was his name?
Atlas?
No, I think his name was different. Anyway, one guy was cursed to push the boulder up the mountain and, you know, he would become liberated after he would accomplish the task, right? That was actually hellish punishment. After he gets the boulder on the top of the mountain, then he is free. And every time, and it's like he almost did it, right? It's almost on the top. But then he runs out of his strength and the boulder goes down and crashes him. But somehow he survives and he has to keep going. This is like a hellish punishment, right? You try and try and you achieve something. But you never complete your effort, right? Your efforts are never completed. And so this is what it means to be attached, to be conditioned, because attachment means conditioning, right? You remain conditioned in the material world. And it's like you have everything for being happy and you're still miserable. Can you imagine that? It's much worse than having nothing and at least hoping that after you achieve something, you'll become happy, right? But when you have everything and you cannot be happy with it, you cannot enjoy, that's like the worst of all miseries, right? It's like there was one king, and of course kings are very wealthy and powerful, But this king had a big problem. The problem was that he couldn't digest anything. His digestion was not working. And the only thing he could eat was, you know, little porridge with no salt, no spices, nothing. It's like completely bland food. But of course he spoiled his digestion because he was indulging in eating everything and anything. And he was still so much attached to the big feasts, and the cooks, royal cooks, were cooking like a big meal for him, like 300 course preparation, right? 300 course feast. And they would put it all in front of him at a big table, right? But he couldn't eat it. He could just look at it and try to enjoy by looking at it. And then as the last preparation, on the golden plate decorated with diamonds and rubies and sapphires, they were bringing this little porridge for him. And this is what he could eat, and look at all these preparations. And then while taking his meal, he saw one poor man passing by, and that poor man had a piece of bread with cheese. And he was eating that piece of bread with cheese with such a huge appetite and really enjoying his meal. And the king looked at him and he said, "I would actually give half of my kingdom to have the type of digestion this poor man has." So this is like real misery, right? Have everything and not have a chance to enjoy anything. And so this is what it means, right? This is like, okay, you're so happy with that, right? That's real heavy curse. But this is, well, this is the result of Vaishnava Parat, right? That you can get everything in the material world, but you lose Krishna consciousness, right? And so, because Krishna consciousness is the only state of consciousness which allows us to be happy. And the more Krishna consciousness we have, the more happy we are, right? And that's why devotees, they get everything in the material world, but they're not attached. It's like they're like Krishna, in a sense. They become similar to Krishna because Krishna has everything, but he's not attached, right? And whatever Krishna has, he is using for the benefit of everybody, right? And so devotees, in a similar way, they have everything, but they're not attached. They're using everything in Krishna's service means they use everything for the benefit of all living entities. It's like when Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys entered Mathura, and of course they came across a couple of bad people, like the guy who was dyeing Kamsa's clothing, washerman, yeah. And they wanted some garments and he refused. He said, "These are royal garments and who are you?" And Krishna showed him who he is. He chopped his head off just with his, you know, hand. Talking about the karate mastery, Krishna is the top in that art also. Right? Can you imagine, chop someone's head off just with bare hand? That's pretty powerful. Anyway, I guess if he wants, his hand can become as sharp as Sudarshan Chakra. But then he came across florist Sudama, right? And he wanted some flower garlands and nice scents. And Sudama, because he was a devotee, he was really happy to serve the Lord, and so he gave Krishna and Balaram and all their friends everything they wanted. And then Krishna gave Sudama a blessing, which is very interesting. He said, live your life enjoying every single material achievement one can imagine, but be so detached from it, and at the end of life go to the spiritual world. So that's the position of a devotee, right? And we can see that in the life of Srila Prabhupada, that the predictions which were made at his birth time, at the time of his birth, that he will become one of the wealthiest people in India and actually in the whole world, came true. Interestingly enough, when he fully dedicated himself to the fulfillment of the instructions of his spiritual master. And he admitted, he said, the results exceeded my greatest expectations. I never expected. You know, I wanted to achieve success, but I could never think that the success will be so grand. And he was even joking. He was saying, what's the difference between me and six Goswamis? Right? Because six Goswamis were writing books. I'm also writing books. Six Goswamis were establishing big temples and deity worship. I'm doing the same thing. Six Goswamis were preaching. I'm also preaching, etc., etc. So what's the difference? And one young, enthusiastic disciple, he said, Srila Prabhupada, no difference. You are like seventh Goswami. And Prabhupada said, no, that there is one difference, one very serious difference between me and six Goswamis, that they were staying under new tree every night, and I'm staying in a new palace every night. Yeah, because Prabhupada's quarters, like here, and in so many other places, you go to London, you go to Los Angeles, and many other places, palatial, right? The best quarters are given to Srila Prabhupada, were given to Srila Prabhupada with all the facilities. But the most amazing thing, that Srila Prabhupada's lifestyle never changed, right? That he had everything, but he didn't care about enjoying all this facility and so much money, right? From the beginning, ISKCON and everything connected to ISKCON belonged to Srila Prabhupada. So, in materialistic estimation, he became a multi-billionaire, right? So much so that CNN listed him as one of the 10 top achievers in the 20th century. Right? Who started their business or career after 50. And so Srila Prabhupada was actually the oldest on the list, because he started after 70. And so what he achieved is unbelievable. And so he left this world. It's quite remarkable, especially towards the end, that the flow was amazing, financial flow, millions of dollars every month. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj came with a report. He said, Srila Prabhupada, you know how much we're getting from book sales and donations and this and that, prasadam restaurants, millions every month. Send it to some backward country, let them spend it, right? But don't keep sannyasi. right? Fully detached. Whatever comes, use it for Krishna, right? Don't keep it. And so, this is the blessing of Krishna, that one has everything, but never keeps anything for oneself, and rather using everything for Krishna, Guru, and Vaishnavas. And so this is the blessing. And if one gets the opposite, that's the worst thing, right? Become attached. Become dissatisfied. Become the victim of your own greed. And so this is what Nandishwar says here, and that's a big lesson for us, that if we offend Vaishnava, especially great Vaishnava, we can become affected by that curse of Nandishwar, and no matter what we get, we'll never be happy, we'll never be satisfied, which is the worst thing, right? Hare Krishna. Anyone has any questions, comments? Yes, Krishna does. Why Vyasadeva was sad after writing all the Vedic literature and Mahabharata? Because he didn't glorify Krishna enough. He didn't make it specific that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and everyone has to serve him. Because he tried to hide Krishna too much, then he was not satisfied. Of course, it's also there that we should not expose Krishna too much, because then Krishna will become like a cheap thing, right? If you give Krishna to everyone for nothing, right, then people will start taking Krishna very cheaply. It's like, sometimes you see, some t-shirts with Krishna, or this with Krishna, that with Krishna, and people go to the toilet with Krishna, and I don't know what they do with Krishna. So it's very kind of familiarity breeds contempt. It's very wrong attitude. So that's why Krishna is somewhat hidden in the Vedas. But still, Vyasadeva overdid that, and he hid Krishna so much that no one could understand that the purpose of all the Vedas, Vedaśca sarva aham eva vedya, right, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the purpose of all the Vedas is to know me and to serve me, right? So he haven't elaborated on that, and that's why he was feeling despondent. But after he wrote Bhagavatam, he became happy again. All right. Yes, Buddha.
Is there, in Islam, about artificial renunciation? Is there artificial renunciation?
What is artificial renunciation? Prapancha kataya buddhya hari sambandha vastuna mumukshupi parityago vairagya bhavgu kataya. This is Rupa Goswami's definition of false renunciation, palgu vairagya. So it says that when someone renounces material things, ignoring the fact that everything is connected to Krishna, Hari Sambandha Vastuna, right? So this kind of renunciation is called dry or false renunciation. And so it's like Prabhupada was joking. And I can understand his joke, because he had an account in America, in the Bank of America, right? One of very popular banks in America is called Bank of America, And so Prabhupada had his account there. And he was giving an example of false renunciation. He said, for example, I come into the branch of Bank of America, and I stand there and I declare very loudly, I renounce all the money which Bank of America holds, right? What people will think, right? Well, this money never belonged to you. In the first place, what are you renouncing, right? So this renunciation, you know, probably if someone would make such a declaration, he would be arrested, you know, what? What was your purpose? Were you trying to rob us or something? And then changed your mind? Right, so actually it shows an attachment, right? Hatred is another sign of attachment, right? That sometimes it is there, but like especially school children, if boys like, if a boy likes some girl, then he's giving that girl a hard time, which shows that he's really attached to the girl, right? So hatred is another side of attachment, and so renunciation is a sign that one is really attached to that, right? And so dry renunciation means just giving it up, right? And being proud of that renunciation. But real renunciation, Yukta Vairagya, is giving it to Krishna, not just giving it up, but give to Krishna, right? Because giving up is easy, right? Especially if you had nothing. Like, okay, I never had any money, I never had any position, I never had any name or fame, and I renounce it all, right? What is that? You never had anything. What did you give up, right? But if someone had position and everything else and then gave that up, well, that's pretty impressive, right? And the topmost renunciation is what is explained in Prabhupada's book, starting from Bhagavad Gita, that Arjuna was trying to renounce falsely, right? He said, oh no, I don't need this battle because, you know, I'll lose my relatives and I will have no one to enjoy with after I become victorious, so I don't want to fight, right? Let them enjoy. And I'll become known as a noble man who, you know, renounced everything in favor of those who were interested. And Krishna said, no, you will not. They'll just criticize you and scorn you. But real renunciation, as Bhagavad Gita explains, especially fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, right? It's very interestingly named Sannyasa Karma Yoga. Activities in the spirit of renunciation, right, dedicated to Krishna, is you fight and you gain victory, right? Tasmat pamutishti ashola basva jitva shatrun bumchva rajam samritam mayavahate nihita purvam eva nimitta bat matraba vasavya sachin. Krishna says, therefore, Arjuna, prepare yourself to fight and gain fame, become famous as a great fighter, conquer your enemies, Chita Shatrun, and then Mukshwa Rajyam Samridam, enjoy a flourishing kingdom. Right? So it's like three things which are considered to be the worst obstacles on the path of spiritual advancement: are wealth, power, and fame. And then what Krishna says to Arjuna, you should get all this, right? Why? Because Arjuna never wanted this for himself. He was already renounced from the beginning, right? But because he was not interested in these things, he didn't want to make an effort. But Krishna says, okay, you're not interested in this, I am interested, right? Get it for me. I want it, right? And then Arjuna said, okay, fine. If you want it, I'll get it for you, right? I'm not interested, but I'll do it for you. That's real renunciation. You don't want, and you don't do, that's dry renunciation. But you don't want, and you do it for Krishna, that's real renunciation. So that's why devotees have to be successful in life for Krishna, right? If you achieve success for yourself, then you get entangled and you become miserable. But if you achieve success in the same way as Srila Prabhupada achieved so much success and gave it all to Krishna, that's real devotional service. That's real renunciation. All right, thank you. So, if anyone has any more questions or comments, we can answer. Otherwise, it's almost time. Yes, Prabhu.
Is Satyaloka a place where sannyasis go to and renounced people go to live their material desires and fully obey God?
Can you say it again, please?
Is Satyaloka, is that a place where the sannyasis and
Satya Loka can be a destination, but if someone, it's one of the highest planets, it's like one of the heavenly planets, you can say, even though it's a little bit more advanced than just heaven, planet of sages, you can say. Topmost material planet. But if someone is Krishna conscious, then one can go to the spiritual world. So if someone is just a perfect in his sannyas, from material standpoint, one can go to Satyaloka. But if it is Vaishnava sannyasi focused on Krishna, he goes to Krishna. Yes, Guru.
What can we do when we start practicing our devotional life? There are like so many anarthas in our heart. What can we do to not be disturbed by them?
Okay, how not to be disturbed by the anarthas? Bhagavad Gita says, what's that verse? No, I'm forgetting the basic verses. Param dristvani vartate. Rasavarjam, rasapyasya param tristani vartate. Vishayavini vartantani raha rasya dehina. Rasavarjam, rasapyasya param tristani vartate. One may abstain from indulging his senses in sense objects, but the desire remains, right? But once one develops higher taste, then the desire to enjoy materially also ceases. And so this is how we develop detachment in Krishna consciousness, by developing attachment to Krishna, Guru, Vaishnavas, and devotional service. And so if you do not develop your attachment to the process of devotional service, then it becomes very difficult, because then the only thing you would have to think of, how do you avoid sense gratification and material desires, right? But once you focus on your spiritual desires and satisfying Guru, Krishna and Vaishnavas by your service, then you're not worried about material desires anymore. It's like, I remember my father, before he became a devotee, he was quite addicted to smoking, right? He couldn't like spend maybe half an hour without a cigarette, right? He had to smoke regularly. Not like chain smoker, but almost like chain smoker. But then he was absorbed in figuring out one thing, how to fix a TV set. And he liked these kind of things, figure out something new. And then someone requested him to fix that thing. And he spent like 2 or 3 days. And after that, he realized he never smoked one cigarette in that time because he was fully absorbed in something else, right? So it's called what they call it in scientific terms, sublimation, I think, right? Replacing lower with the higher, right? It's like if you are a beggar on the street, you might eat from like trash cans, right? And no matter how much people will preach to you, no, it's dangerous to eat from trash cans, it's not good, this food is not of a good quality, but if you have no alternative, what you will do, right? You'll continue. Okay? So find your source of inspiration and you'll be happy in Krishna consciousness. All right, so we'll finish here. Thank you very much. Grantarachman Bhagavatam Kijai, Shalaprabhupada Kijai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.